Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Well, hello, Holly.
Hi, Dave.
How are you today?
Well, I just realized I'm pretty sugared up right now.
Good.
So
today's show is sponsored by Randy's Donuts, world famous since 1962.
Yes, and in addition, two cups of coffee. And yeah, so I can't vouch for my behavior today. I can't.
Trying to hype us all up for this thing.
You, are you feeling it?
Yes.
And you, I'm hoping, and your fruit-filled donut?
Oh, I love the fruit-filled donuts. All right. Well, that's too bad.
Thanks for bringing the glazed and the chocolate.
Oh, my pleasure. Hopefully we can get Randy's as a sponsor. Wouldn't that be amazing? We could talk about Randy's all the time.
That's a great idea. And for those of you who don't know Randy's Donuts, if you've ever flown into Los Angeles before, it's the big donut. I think you can see it.
You can.
Maybe as you're flying in or as you're driving to the airport, you can see it. It's the huge
Probably.
Donut. Yeah. We'll post a picture of it.
Okay. If you've ever watched The Simpsons and you see Lard Boy Donuts, that's an homage to Randy's Donuts. Did you not know that?
I wasn't going to say it. You didn't have to say it out loud.
Well, your face shows everything. I have to explain because this is a podcast. And
I know. I didn't want it to be said, but thanks.
You had a look of a, what? Your head exploded. You got to put that head back together and let's start with the podcast.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm ready. You?
I am ready. Where are we? What's going on?
Okay, I love 1983 more every week as we get further to number one. 1983 was an awesome year for music.
I agree. We review 1983 by reviewing K-Rock. It's a radio station in Los Angeles. Every year they put out their 106.7 top songs of the year. And we are currently in 1983. We've been counting them down in 10 song chunks, and we are currently at number 40. They made two lists, actually. There was one in 1983, and now there was one in the 2010s they put together.
Reflecting on 1983, so still a chart from 1983. The original list was 106.7 songs, because that's their frequency. But the current list, when they put their HD2 station on the air, they pared it down to 80 songs.
For some odd reason. So that leaves out 26.7 songs. So, you know, when you have a song like The Dog Boat, apparently that's no longer relevant. That was the 106.7 song from 1983.
Or Acceleration.
Yeah.
From last week.
There were a number of songs that were left off. There is one song left off this list, and it's...
Is it going to be obvious?
It's not obvious, but once we explain what's going on in 1983, it'll make sense why this one song was left off.
Oh, I think I already know.
Do you?
I think I do. Well, okay. I'm probably wrong because that's par for the course.
I'm not going to say anything, but you will, you know, you could interject and say, this is the song. Okay. And I will say yay or nay.
I will.
Okay.
Okay.
You have one choice.
Do I only get one guess?
You get one guess.
So if I get it wrong, if I guess the wrong song, I'm done. I'm off the show.
Exactly.
I'm off the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how
You're
that
gonna
works. You
find yourself a new partner.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Okay.
Sorry. This is a reality show now, right? Is this what we're playing?
Okay, that would be fun.
Stakes are high.
Okay. Can I kick you off for any reason?
Always.
Now, where do I get my donuts?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, we're up to number 40.
We are.
Yeah, so this is nice. What do we got at number 40?
I love, you know, you can just insert this for every single song from here on out. This is China from Red Rockers.
Yes, the Red Rockers, not Sammy Hagar.
No, not Sammy Hagar.
The Red Rocker.
He is the Red Rocker, but these are Red Rockers.
Red Rockers.
Yes.
Are they your favorite red band? Who else would you like?
I like Simply Red.
Simply Red's good. What about the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Well, how about you? Do you have a favorite red band?
I like Helen Red-E.
Good one.
That was a push. Also, is maroon a red color?
I think maroon is in the red family.
Okay, so maroon 5.
Good one. Yeah. Oh, that's one of your favorites?
No, not at all. But I thought of
you're
maroon.
You're projecting.
Yeah, no. Okay, so Red Rockers, as opposed, not Sammy Hagar, Red Rockers from China.
They're not from China.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm confused. Okay.
That's a good guess, though.
All right. So tell me about Red Rockers.
Red Rockers. They didn't last very long, did they?
No. This was a band that was originally a punk band.
Mm-hmm.
From my little bit of research here.
Did you listen to the B-side of China?
No. What's on the B-side?
It's called Voice of America. It's pretty punkish, unlike China. Although China did appear on the mainstream rock chart as well, which we've talked about with some of the other songs, a handful of other songs. Got to number 53 on the Billboard Hot 100, but 19 on the mainstream rock chart. And I can hear that. I love the song, and of course it makes me think of K-Rock, but I can hear how it's a little mainstream. So I didn't know they had that punk edge.
Yeah, 1983 was kind of a year where we're kind of punk broke, or, you know, like... I think suddenly labels started to realize, hey, this punk band has some commercial possibilities. Yep. Maybe we can translate this into a big hit. You know, someone like The Cure suddenly goes from goth to doing like a mainstream
don't
song.
Say pop.
Okay. Well, it was. These were pop songs now.
I don't want to call it pop. I prefer it.
Well, in 1983, these were pop songs. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting. There's a number of songs we're going to talk about here that made the pop charts.
Yes.
Yeah. In this 10 song chunk.
But can we still refer to The Cure as goth pop?
Whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I saw a review on one of the websites.
Uh-huh.
It called this a far cry from Clash-influenced, politically-minded hardcore punk of the Red Rockers' early days. China is a brilliant jangle rocker. I really like that term. Jangle rocker, featuring a soaring, unforgettable chorus and one of the great lead guitar riffs of its era. John Griffith sings the elliptically romantic lyrics with the winsome grace of a Closet Raspberries fan. And the song as a whole sounds like the missing link between the Paisley Underground and the Athens art pop scene of the early 80s.
Well, that sounds right on, because when you hear jangly, every time I hear jangly, that was always used to describe REM.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Every song. And then, I think jangly, I think of the Bangles. And they were also a pop, you know, pop band.
With this tingy, that Paisley Park kind of thing, yeah.
Funnily enough, David Kahn was the producer of China, also produced the Bangles' Different Light. He did a lot of different artists. A lot of my favorites. Bangles, Regina Spektor, Sean Colvin, Katie Lang, Lana Del Rey, Paul McCartney. You know, he was a pop producer, and Red Rockers were happy to change their sound, apparently, to make a big hit.
Did you like the song then, and do you like it now?
Yeah, it's still a very good song.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you obviously you're not a Springfield fan, a Simpsons fan. I mean, since you didn't know this little bit, but what about South Park? Are you a South Park
aficionado? Not aficionado.
Oh, okay. This is something I'll probably post on our website, WDDIMpodcast.
.com.
That's right. Randy Marsh starts selling weed from his Integrity Farms, and he's made $300,000. He's very excited about it. He's starting to sell to the Chinese, and he's on a float, and he's singing the song China.
In this little blurb,
it's highly amusing. If you like South Park and if you like Randy Marsh, it's kind of a fun song.
And remember the song China?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this which is very fun. I mean, you know, obviously. The creators of South Park are of our age, so they know the song China. I'm sure a lot of the kids that were watching South Park were like, is this an original song? What is this? Whenever I hear that song, it makes me smile because I think of South Park.
That's funny. I'm going to watch the episode, and I'm going to ask Sam if he recognizes the song, because I think my son watches South Park.
Ask him about Integrity Farms.
I will. Oh, yeah. I've seen some of those episodes.
Yeah. So, yeah, Randy made a T-shirt that said, Integrity Farms made $300,000, and all I got was high. And you can buy that T-shirts on just Google it, and if you want to buy, you could buy that shirt.
I mean, another maybe official you sponsor buy, of our show.
What difference does it make? Sponsored by Integrity Farms. I think all these songs have moved up four spots. This one is currently, it was 40 in 1983, and now it's number 36.
Okay.
All right.
Makes sense, but you shouldn't, well, I already know this is still on the chart.
Oh, okay. So. That's right, because you will interject immediately. Like, yes. This is the song.
I'm going to say it immediately.
Okay. We're at number 39. What do we got?
Sparks, Cool Places, and I am going to let you. I know you're a big Ron and Russell Mayall fan. You're a fan of Sparks and a fan of the brothers. And we're fans not only because they're brothers that get along, but because they make cool music.
Yes.
In cool places.
In cool places.
Give it to me.
No, I mean, all I wanted to do was, it's a good time to mention that they have a new single out, Self-Effacing. Yay. They have a new album coming out May 15th, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. And I think this was their biggest hit. It actually made number 49 on the Billboard charts. And Jane Wiedlin is just as charming as can be on this video. Both of them are.
She's always charming as can be.
As we talk punk to pop, this was her, I think it was a transition from, you know, she was a punker in the Go-Go's, you know, originally, 79, 80, 81. I think she would agree with that. And then Cool Places. I mean, she's cleaned up and she's adorable with the little hat. She's dancing with Russell together and they're talking about going to the cool places and staying up till 5 a.m. and doing it all over again. You watch the video and it's just... makes you happy.
Yeah. I did not know this, but they say an early version of the song ended with Russell Mayall and Jane Wiedlin firing the names of real life cool places back and forth with each other, hitting all the high spots of local LA life.
Like Randy's Donuts?
Probably Randy's Donuts, but they scrapped the whole thing once the list reached Cantor's Deli. That's when we knew the idea was lame, they said. Which I don't know why, but... and that's kind of cute.
It could have been fun. Everything about this song is cute. Yes. It's cute. When you talk about it, cute.
This is cute.
This is cute. Yeah, we talked about Randy and Randy's Donuts. Randy Marsh, Randy's Donuts. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking cartoons. This is on a, I saw this, and maybe I'll post this too, but I could barely watch it. The Chipmunks did a version of Cool Places for a video game. And they're singing Cool Places. And it is not as adorable as Sparks and Jane Wiedlin.
Might be kind of grating.
It, a little bit. I might still post it on the website. We'll see.
I think you should. Okay. You don't have to click on it if you don't want to, but it'll be there.
We'll see if you can last 10 seconds, maybe? 10 minutes. As soon as those chipmunks come in, like, oh my God. All right. So that was still amazing. And
still on the chart, still, of course.
Yes.
Moved up, I'm sure.
Number 35, four spots.
Okay.
All right. So now we move into number 38. And you can take this one away.
Our favorite goth pop band, The Cure. This is The Love Cats.
The Love Cats. The Love Cats.
No.
That was the dog boat.
Yes.
This is Love Cats.
Yeah.
This is a pop song.
Okay, it's a pop song.
Okay.
Fine, it's a pop song.
Okay, good. Gotcha.
I'll admit that, but I, you know, as loath as I am. But you know what Robert Smith says about it? He distanced himself from this song. He said he initially wrote it as a parody. He said, "The Love Cats is far from being my favorite song. Composed drunk, video filmed drunk, promotion made drunk. It was a joke. My heart is broken."
And it was the band's first UK top 10 hit.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, correct?
Nice pop hit.
Yeah.
Look at that. See? Okay. So what we've learned, it pays to be drunk.
Yes, that's it, the direct connection.
And super talented.
Yeah, oh, that too. And charming and great voice. And
I don't know if I'm going to post this on the website, but I gave a listen to Paul Anka's version of the song, which is on his Love Swings album. And it is as cheeseball as you would imagine.
Paul Anka, if you're listening to Paul Anka, you know what to expect.
Yeah. I think in the 80s, he was probably one of the first ones to do that. I know Pat Boone did a metal cover song. Swing became big. What was it, in the mid-90s?
Yeah.
So that was kind of, where people did swing versions of popular songs. So maybe Paul Anka is one of the first to do it. Yeah.
You probably should post it.
All right. Well, we'll see how long you might last as long as the chipmunks on this one.
I'd give it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
You give it a shot.
So do you know what Lowell Tolhurst, what instrument he played on this song?
Well, he was the drummer.
Mm-hmm. And then he was keyboardist.
Right.
Keyboardist.
Keyboardist. Okay. So tambourine.
Vibraphone.
Vibraphone. Not marimbas?
Not marimbas. Vibraphone.
Too bad. It would have been a bigger hit if there were marimbas in there.
Could it have been? Could have been a bigger hit.
Okay, so he played the what is the vibraphone?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
I know. See, you don't bring up something when you know I'm going to follow it up.
What is a vibraphone? The vibraphone is a musical instrument in the struck idiophone subfamily of the percussion family. It consists of tuned metal bars and is usually played by holding two or four soft mallets and striking the bars. People who play the vibraphone are called vibraphonists or vibraharpists.
Okay. So I will ask again, what is the vibraphone?
Yeah, it's in the percussion family.
Okay. So
how about that?
Like the marimba.
Good enough?
Yeah.
Like the marimba, exactly.
I'm trying to think of what that sound is on the Love Cats.
I'm sure we can Google it.
Yeah.
You can just ask Siri.
There you go. We will Google it and we'll figure out what the vibraphone is, what it sounds like. I'm sure it sounds a lot like the marimbas.
Let's see.
Oh, wait.
It's kind of like a xylophone, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to hum it along, but I do hear that sound in the Love Cat song. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So now we know what the vibraphone sounds like, and now we have a definition.
Now we should find out
you're going to learn. Let's bring it in, and you can learn how to play it, and then you could play the Love Cats on
just
our show.
On a vibraphone. That's a great idea. Okay. And then you can play the tambourine.
I will be happy to play the tambourine.
Okay.
Okay. So this one also moved up four spots. It's now at number 34.
Yay!
Now we move up to number 37. This is another song that moved up four spots to 33. And what song is this?
Yay! It is from INXS, The One Thing, from Shabu Shuba.
This is one of your favorite bands, like The Cure. This was their first charting single.
I love the 80s. Have I said that recently?
Okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, I love Michael Hutchins.
Okay.
Oh, this show is not an ode to Michael Hutchins? Okay. You like them.
I like them.
Where does this song rank? We already know how much I like this album.
Yeah, it's a very good song. I watched the video. Did you watch the video?
I don't remember it.
Okay. It's not so subtle innuendo. It's it's not very subtle. It's the boys are at a banquet. There's a woman who grabs two kumquats and kind of holds them around in her palm. There's Michael Hutchins peeking between a woman's legs. And they're
okay.
And then there's a woman engorging in this kumquat, which looks a little bit like female genitalia. I'm not, possibly, who knows? But she's really enjoying this kumquat and enjoying this fruit.
Okay.
And then the boys are climbing all over the table and just engorging themselves in the food. And
they were really hungry.
They were super hungry.
Okay.
And then really enjoying the food. It's, just an orgy of food is what's going on there. And they're, just enjoying themselves. As Australians do, apparently. They really enjoy their food.
I guess I'll go back and watch it again.
Oh, sure. Watch it and get a giggle.
Yeah. This is so crazy when you think about how big they became. Because this song just hit the charts as they started their first tour of America. We've talked about this. We talked about this before, I think.
Mm-hmm. They're still up and coming, and everyone's watching them and not quite sure, these guys look kind of good. They're playing in the daylight, so it's, they're one of the first bands to play. And so it's kind of an exciting time to see
a band like that come up. I did not know this, but the S Festival, they earned an encore.
Okay.
How about that? So they were starting strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anything else you'd like to discuss about Michael Hutchins or the rest of the band?
No, I just have the vision of the video in my head, and it's hilarious. things you missed when you were a kid and then you see now and go, oh my God, this is...
No. I don't want that vision right now, please.
Okay. Rock stars have sex. I don't know if you knew this.
I know it in theory, and I know that it happens.
Okay.
But I don't need to picture it.
Okay.
This video, Tim Ferriss said in the book, you know, the book I Want My MTV. He said, we fed Valium to a few cats and had them running around a table while we had a feast with sexy models and Playboy centerfolds, ripping apart a turkey.
Yeah.
Next thing we knew, we had a top 40 hit in America.
That's again, alcohol, Valium.
Food. Sure.
I don't know what the cats represented, but apparently they were crawling around on the table. So, yeah, I mean, you get the picture.
Yeah, a little too vividly. If we don't take a break right now and have another donut, I'm just going to start chewing into the mic.
What is your obsession with donuts?
They're here. That's it. I'm really not obsessed with donuts. They usually just sit like a rock in your stomach. These are so damn good, and they're just sitting here staring you in the eye.
All right, take a break.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, welcome back. All right, Holly.
Thank
I
you.
Guess that means Holly's back too.
Hang on, let me wipe my face. All right. Donut crumbs.
Let's get started. All right, so now we move up to number 36, The Romantics. It moves up 4 spots. It was number 36 in 1983. On their current list, it's at number 32, Romantics Talking in Your Sleep, a number 3 top 10 hit. Their only top 10 hit they ever had.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, they had a few. I mean, What I Like About You only made up to 49.
Yeah, I would have thought that one would have been charted higher than this one.
And the follow-up single to Talking in Your Sleep, One in a Million, hit number 37. Mm-hmm. But this was the one that hit. And you know why?
Why?
Because sex. It was the video. Bands walking around, stalking women. You know, these women are in lingerie. The Romantics are being kind of creepy and just staring at them. They do have the standard, the band is playing their instruments, playing, and then they'll cut away to them just kind of walking around these models in lingerie as they're talking in their sleep. They're standing up, they're in lingerie, they're sleeping, so they don't realize that the Romantics are right there. Super creepy.
Oh, that's the catch. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. So there was that works. Women in lingerie always works. I think Peter Wolf.
Yep.
Next year for Centerfold. That worked as well.
Oh, you're giving it away.
I don't know if that'll be on the K-Rock list, but anyway.
I'm guessing it will be, but.
Anyway, this was the video, which was played a lot on MTV.
Yeah.
Obviously, number three hit. That's all I have to say about that song. What else do you have about the Romantics? What tell me?
I want to tell you something
Detroit
scientific.
Rockers. Oh, scientific? Oh, good.
Do you know what the phenomenon of talking in your sleep is called?
Oh, please tell me.
Somniloquy.
I was not thinking of that word, but now I know.
What were you thinking of?
Not somniloquy, not that.
This is somniloquy is related to the same stage of sleep that produces REM.
Okay.
REM sleep.
Do you talk in your sleep? Do you know anyone? Have you been told anything like that?
No. Have you?
No, but
are you a somniloquist?
No. I don't think so. I'm thinking about the I Love Lucy episode.
Oh.
Where Ricky pretended to talk in his sleep. That it was the gossiping episode.
I don't remember.
I've seen a lot of it. I've seen a lot of I Love Lucy in my day.
Okay, anyway, what does he say?
Well, they were talking about the women like to gossip. And so the men took a bet saying that we bet you guys can gossip. But the women said, well, the guys gossip just as much. Ricky Ricardo came up with the idea of like, oh, when we're sleeping, we'll talk about like a fake rumor. What was it? It was Grace Foster and the Milkman were having an affair or something like that.
In order to get the women to gossip?
Yeah, so the women were hearing like, what about Grace Foster? Tell me about it. But Ricky was asleep. And then this is the whole controversy saying, well, you weren't actually asleep, so you were gossiping, so you... But it's like, but it wasn't true, so it's not gossiping, but you thought it was true. It was a whole... Oh, it was a whole mess.
It was a whole Lucy and Ricky mess.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I remember about talking in your sleep.
Can you post the clip? Is it maybe. Public domain? Can you post...
If it's on there, I will post it.
Okay.
I can't believe it. Some things stick in your head forever.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. So that's The Romantics Talking in Your Sleep is now number 32. That will take us to number 35, Barbie and the Kens, Just a Gigolo.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Go ahead. What?
Did you remember this song?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't get the David Lee Roth version out of my head.
Of course.
And I couldn't remember it. And of course, then I played it and I thought, oh, yeah, of course I remember this song.
Yeah. It's like the B-52s meets Devo.
Yeah. Maybe a little more hardcore.
Well, this the guy behind this, his name is Bobby O, short for Orlando. He's the guy who created like this type of sound. High energy. Actually, it was high energy music. He created a few things, kind of like before there was Apollonia 6 or Vanity 6. He had this band called The Flirts. They were like these three women. You know, they sang his songs. And actually, it caught the attention of the Pet Shop Boys. Yeah, they said they were obsessed with Orlando's sound and production, especially the song Passion by The Flirts. And so he produced some early Pet Shop Boys, including the original West End Girls and One More Chance.
And, wait, you say the original West End Girls?
Yeah, I think they re-recorded it. But, they did Opportunities and...
No way! This guy produced those songs?
I think it was the original version, as I'm looking at this, because it does say the original version. It says, Orlando decided to produce a Pet Shop Boys album and release their earliest 12 inches, including the original West End Girls and One More Chance. Orlando and the Pet Shop Boys recorded 12 tracks together, including the original It's a Sin, Opportunities, in parentheses, Let's Make a Lot of Money. This was a guy who mostly known for his production work.
I wonder if he'll be, we'll recognize any of his sound when we go see the Pet Shop Boys in October.
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's New Order Pet Shop Boys. That was just announced. And so we're hoping to go to that show. Many shows.
Yes.
Well, what are your thoughts on this?
I like the song. I think it has great energy. Okay. I didn't know he was such a prolific producer.
Yeah, I know. You see a thing like Barbie... You know, Just a Gigolo by Barbie and the Kens. Yeah. You think this is a one-hit wonder and, never heard from again. But this guy, he had a sound that he helped create.
And I do think this one stayed on the list.
It did. Yes. Yeah. This one also moved up four spots too. And so it's at number 31. He also worked with Divine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they created a couple singles. So, yeah, I mean, that's just a fun song. And so is Just a Juggalo.
The Flirts. Okay, I hope you're going to.
Yeah, maybe I'll post the Flirts' Passion. So just so you get a taste of that song, you'll see it and you'll go, I think they were all in lingerie as well.
Was it the same? Oh, because that was the
because,
the
yeah, that's decade what you do.
Is it the same flirt as the Flirts that we know? Is it Jukebox?
They'll put another dime in the
juke. Is it the same Flirts?
It is the same Flirts.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, the song that, because last year, 1982, we talked about that song. I completely forgot that the Flirts are part of. Or don't put another dime in the jukebox.
I saw that when I was, when I was looking
actually,
for
it's
info
called
about
jukebox,
them.
Parentheses, don't put another dime. Another parentheses song. Now we move up to number 34. This is Elvis Costello's Every Day I Write the Book. And this sounds unlike 1983 at all. When I first heard this song, and from what Freddie Snakeskin had told us, like, this doesn't sound like, this isn't a 1983 song. It's kind of a timeless song.
Yeah. So it could go anywhere.
Yeah. I was really surprised that this was on the list. This was Elvis's first charting single, number 36, a former punk who's going for a pop hit.
Yeah.
Once again, this worked for him. I think this was, for a lot of people, this was their first exposure to Elvis Costello.
Yeah. I think it, was it yours?
No.
Yeah. What was yours?
It was him on Saturday Night Live. He was playing a song. I can't remember what. I think he was playing Less Than Zero. Then he's like, ladies and gentlemen, there's no reason for me to play this. And then he went into Radio.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's great. Good choice, Elvis.
Yeah, exactly. It was Less Than Zero.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a regular on the UK charts since his first, his 1977 release, but American singles were not his priority.
Yeah.
And they say he sabotaged his 1977 SNL performance by performing Radio instead of the presumptive hit Less Than Zero.
I love that.
Yeah.
I do remember watching with my dad. We watched SCTV together. And there was an Elvis Costello commercial that came on for an album. And my dad thought it was a parody and he started laughing. I was like, then the legitimate, like, Elvis Costello's new album is out now. Like,
what was it that he thought it was a...
Well, he's got the glass. He's nerdy.
Oh, I thought you meant because of the music he was playing. I know.
No, I think it was the look, because he thought it was Eugene Levy or something, because, he had the glasses.
He could have been.
And he has, he kind of, the way he struts up to a song, it's kind of a, I could see where my dad...
Like, exaggerated.
Yeah, I think my dad would... I could see where he would get confused about that. But those were through SCTV, commercial, and through Saturday Night Live. That's how I learned about Elvis.
Well, however you get exposed, right?
Exactly.
He says he wrote it for a joke, this song. He said he didn't put much thought into it, and he said, but that's often the way to write a hit record. And jangly, speaking of jangly, he said, we had a group on the road with us that was trying to write these very self-conscious pop jangly kinds of songs.
1983, jangly. Yep,
jangly, that's the word of the... Word of the year. That's for people who are big fans of the song to hear that he wrote it as a joke, though. I think that's kind of...
It might have been a joke, but musically, it's brilliant. Well, really is. I think what makes it are the backup singers, actually, because they remind me of the Pips in a way, or just the way they interject into and just support the song. I love that. I love the piano melody, which kind of reminds me of possibly a typewriter. Diggy, 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 ding, 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 diggy, diggy. So that's... I hear the typewriter in that at chapter one, we didn't get along. Chapter two, I think I fell in love with you.
It's good. You can see how this became a hit.
Yeah, fell in love with, yeah. So throwaway lyrics, whatever, still brilliant. And this song, it's timeless.
Esquire called this the most intellectually satisfying pop song ever written.
Ever.
Ever.
They wrote that in 1983.
Yeah. Oh, so probably. That was only,
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but pop songs have been being written for a long time. Did you see this? He said he wanted to write songs as good as Nick Lowe since he was 17. And he admitted, Every Day I Write the Book is a knockoff of Nick's When I Write the Book, with a little Rodgers and Hart thrown in.
I can accept that.
Yeah, he's describing his own music, so
yeah,
we have to go with that.
All right, so this since you have not interjected.
Oh, please. Of course this is on the list.
It is. It's number 30.
Even though, as we say, it's not, you know, typical 1983, it's absolutely on the list.
Yes, still on the K-Rock list. Yeah. Okay, so now we're up to 33. This is our first song with Culture Club.
Miss Me Blind.
This was the third single from their Colored by Numbers album. Mm-hmm. Peaked at number 5 on the charts in 1984. It was their 6th consecutive top 10 hit. Culture Club were the Beatles. I mean, or, you know, it was at this time, every song they hit, it was, you know, they were Justin Bieber. They were the Ariana Grande. They, you know, just everything they put out became a hit.
Everything they touched turned to gold.
Exactly.
Everything he touched turned to gold.
Yeah, exactly. And this also, I think, timeless quality to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, both of these, after, you know, I like wrote that about Elvis, and then the next song was Culture Club, Miss Me Blind. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's Smokey Robinson. He's, you know, he's got this voice. It's just amazing. And it didn't sound like 1983. I, listening to it yesterday, still timeless, still an amazing song. You know, like they were on a roll right there.
It's so funny you talk about his voice being so smooth like Smokey Robinson, but it's funny because his speaking voice is actually kind of, you know, deep, a little gravelly.
I think now it is.
Yeah.
Back then.
I don't know.
Drugs are a bitch.
Yeah. That's what I hear. Yes. Yeah. I think it's funny that it was friends with Malcolm McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Malcolm McLaren had, you know, hatched a plan to have Boy George join the band, either as a replacement for Annabella or to add him as a singer.
Right.
I didn't know this. He was going to perform as Lieutenant Lush.
That could have been fun for him.
Yeah.
What did you think of Boy George when you first saw him?
Oh, the coolest. I mean, you kind of transfixed, you know, by his whole look. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I guess transfixed. Yeah, because I was like, all right. I mean.
You mean you couldn't figure him out?
Yeah, for the life of me, I couldn't figure him out, which was, I guess, was even more intriguing. Like, where does this guy come from?
Well, we didn't see anything like that. And now, you know,
yeah.
Boy, times have changed. Back in 1983, he came in second place in the male and female best dressed categories in a new music, an NME readers poll.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What is crazy about Culture Club? This is the first time we're mentioning Culture Club.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Spoiler alert, though. Uh-oh. We're going to be mentioning them 4 other times. They have 5 hits in 1983 that were played on K-Rock. 5.
Yeah.
5 songs. Duran Duran had 3. Police had 3. Bowie had 3. Tears for Fears, 3. The Fix, 3. Culture Club, 5 songs on this chart.
That's pretty amazing considering we're already at number 33.
That was my next point. Yeah. Was like, we are going to be talking a lot about Culture Club.
Yay. Okay. So save the rest of your facts.
Okay. Right. Okay.
No.
So because of that fact, mm-hmm. Miss Me Blind is not on the updated list. But we're going to be talking about Culture Club 4 more times in the next few episodes. Okay, so now we move to number 32, Blancmange, Living on the Ceiling.
Okay, I think it's Blancmange.
Blancmange.
One more time.
Blancmange.
Blancmange.
Do you know what Blancmange is?
Do I know what it means? It sounds like white something.
Blancmange is a sweet dessert, commonly made with milk or cream and sugar, thickened with gelatin, cornstarch, or Irish moss, and often flavored with almonds.
Okay.
That is blancmange.
Well, I had no idea. I thought it was something made up, but...
Nope.
Hang on.
Nope, they named themselves after a dessert. Not too bad.
That's a very, very good idea.
It is now number 29 on the updated list. Back in the day, this song reached number 7 on the UK charts. This dance song only reached number 52 on the U.S. dance charts, which is weird. Hmm. The dance charts were weird back in 83. Like, this is a song that I think should have reached the top of the charts.
I agree with you.
For the U.S. charts, dance charts. But, you know, there were all these pop hits that were reaching the top.
Yeah, as we know. Maybe you should add this to your dance playlist.
Maybe.
From last week.
Do you like Blancmange?
I love this song. I don't know a lot of their music. But I always loved this song. This was another quintessential K-Rock song. I mean, obviously these all are because we're getting closer to the, you know, to the top. But
right.
This is funny. So they perform this song on Top of the Pops. But when the show, you know, the lyric, Up the Bloody Tree?
Yes. Up the Bloody Tree.
They had to change it. They had to edit it to Up the Cuckoo Tree. I know Bloody is considered you know, I guess it's a,
is that a curse
profanity,
word?
But yeah, I didn't think it was like, you know, bloody, like the F word.
Bloody is a curse word. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought it was actually a replacement for a curse word.
Okay.
Like instead of, you know, using the F word, you would say bloody. But I guess in a subsequent episode of Top of the Pops, they used it as a playout track and the band wasn't there, but they left the original lyric in.
Do you know how to flip someone off in England?
I forget.
Back in the day, like when you use bow and arrows or something about that, like they would chop off your fingers, meaning, you know, you can't shoot with an arrow. And so that's how someone would leave saying, hey, look, I still got my fingers as they left.
Is that the history of it? Wow.
That is all. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's true, but it's on a podcast that I heard. So now, which is our podcast. And so it must be true.
It must be true.
I do remember, I've seen Liam Gallagher do that numerous times.
I guess because we don't use it like that here. It doesn't seem offensive when it's being done to you.
I love it. When I saw Liam Gallagher do it, like, oh, that's, there's no doubt with that. That's got to be some obscene gesture.
So that's the being bloody flipped off.
All right. Bloody. Here we go. Yeah. All right. We're learned so much here on our podcast. And then, of course, Blamage is still on the list at number 29. And that leads us to our final song for this episode. This is Thomas Dolby's She Blinded Me With Science.
Yay!
Are you happy? In 83, it was at 31. Now it's currently at number 28. Back in the day, it was number 5. It hit the pop charts, number 5 in the U.S.
Yeah.
Not a big hit in the U.K.
I know.
49.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But this is an amazing song.
Very happy to finally have an appearance from Thomas Dolby.
Yeah, we've talked about Thomas Dolby forever. He's been appearing on videos and production and musician, you know, like a backup musician for a lot of the songs that we've talked about in these past 3-4 years.
His influence is
it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Do you know who the science guy is? Science guy is Magnus Pike, an English nutritional scientist, governmental scientific advisor, writer, and presenter. He worked for the UK Ministry of Food, the post-war Allied Commission for Austria, and different food manufacturers.
Why was he chosen for this video?
Because he loves Miss Sakamoto.
Oh.
She's beautiful.
Yes, she was.
Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful. It's great. I mean, that I think that was part of the appeal was Magnus Pike just, with his exclamation of science.
Do you know that? So speaking of Miss Sakamoto, do you know why this is so funny and simple? He said he wrote the line, good heavens, Miss Sakamoto, because he wanted a Japanese woman to appear in the video. He said, this was in that same book, I Want My MTV. I was boldly ahead of the times in fetishizing Asian women.
Because no one had ever fetished a Japanese woman before Thomas Dolby?
Maybe not so boldly.
All right. The interesting thing about this song is Thomas Dolby saw this. He was a fan of music videos, and he came up with he storyboarded this whole video without even having a song. He visualized the song, what he wanted to do. And then he added the song title and wrote the song to fit the video. Crazy, right?
He's so clever. I couldn't get in the, and brilliant. I couldn't get in the mind of that man.
Yeah. It's insane. Also, you love love, right?
I love love.
Okay.
You know that.
All right. So you'll be happy to know that Thomas Dolby has been happily married to actress Kathleen Beller since 1988.
I love that.
Do you know Kathleen Beller from the TV show?
What is she from?
She was in Dynasty.
Oh, okay.
She played Kirby Anders.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the quiz. I think I'm asking you this time.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Oh, boy.
Yep.
This is exciting. Here we go.
I'm so prepared.
Question one. Which song by Michael Jackson contains the phrase, I'm asking him to change his ways?
Can I have the choices?
Come on.
I know.
Man the Miller.
Mirror. Who's Miller?
You know, Barney Miller. All right. Man in the Mirror, Thriller, or Bad?
Man in the Mirror.
That is correct. Who in the group Queen played bass guitar? John Deacon, Roger Taylor, Brian May.
John Deacon.
Correct.
I know. I couldn't remember his name.
Born in the USA was a song by which artist?
Bruce Springsteen.
Very good. From which country did artist Bonnie Tyler originate? USA, Canada, or the UK? I'm actually going to have to look this one up.
I want to say UK.
I want to say USA, but the answer is the UK. Congratulations.
Thank you.
4 for 4. Who released the song Blue Eyes in 1982? Billy Joel, Bill Collins, Elton John?
Blue Eyes?
Blue Eyes. You know, baby's got blue eyes.
Is that? Oh, Elton John.
Very good.
I keep thinking of Sad Eyes by Robert John.
Oh, good. Good one. Who had a hit in 1982 with the song Down Under? I'm not even going to tell you.
Then it worked.
Very good.
I keep answering these as questions because I'm used to blurting them out for Jeopardy.
The song I Want to Dance with Somebody,
Whitney Houston,
in parentheses, Who Loves Me, was released by which female artist? And you got that right, Whitney Houston. Which of these artists was not a member of the Eurythmics?
The one that isn't Dave Stewart or Annie Lennox?
Correct. That would be Gary Newman. Good job.
You wrote these for me today, yeah, so I'd be able to answer them,
there
right?
There you go. Which song by Bruce Springsteen begins with the phrase, I was 8 years old and running with a dime in my hand?
And I know you don't, but I need the choices.
Okay. Brilliant Disguise, My Hometown, Born in the USA.
My Hometown.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Who had a hit in 1984 with the song Ghostbusters? Billy Ocean, Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr.
Very good.
Who's the third choice?
The Bus Boys. Anyway, you have to listen to Huey Lewis talk about his I Want a New Drug in Ghostbusters. Look it up. You know, just because when they were looking for a hit, they wanted something like I Want a New Drug or something. And so anyway, they pretty much ripped off I Want a New Drug
for
Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I remember hearing that.
Yeah. Anyway, Huey Lewis has a new album out, so he's been talking a little bit about his history, and of course, that Ghostbusters is always brought up.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
Did I answer all 10?
You did. You're 10 for 10. Congratulations. You're back on the show.
Ah, thank you.
Yay.
100%.
100%.
I rock.
You do indeed. Okay, so that ends our show.
Already.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, it does. Oh. And look, we have been recording.
We have. Where can you follow us? What can you do? How can you participate in the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
Well, please follow us on social media, the social media outlet of your choice, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
WDDIM podcast.
Yes, or What Difference Does It Make? Or you can just check out our website. Well, not just. You should do all these things, but our website is WDDIMpodcast.com. And, you know, if you sign up on our mailing list, we can send you some fun stuff.
Yes, we're accumulating the list right now. Until next time, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.